speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
A couple weeks ago, in our question and answer session, a question was submitted with regard to cigarette smoking. And the question asked, is it sinful? And we approached it from what I believe to be a biblical standpoint to identify that indeed not only smoking, but anything that we would do that would put our physical life in jeopardy, any addiction that we might have, could indeed be classified as sin. And therefore, we need to come away from all manner of sin. As I concluded that, I started thinking to myself, well, I don't know that I necessarily offered a lot of suggestion as to ways in which we would be able to break the habit. And in fact, this last week I had one of the members come and say, you know, the lesson was good. However, how do people approach overcoming the various addictions that they have? So tonight, we are going to look at some things that God identifies from the Scripture, not only from a biblical standpoint, but what are some practical things that we need to understand as we would think about overcoming addictions. To begin with, I believe that it is imperative for us to admit that we have a problem. The mind needs to see the truth. As an individual is dealing with addictions, the addict believes a lie. A lot of times they have been fed a lie by individuals maybe who has gotten them involved in certain addictions, but at some point they've owned it for themselves. And what I mean by that is that they have come to conclude in their mind maybe that there's nothing wrong with whatever it is that they are engaged in, or possibly they are trying to offer justifications in their mind so that they will feel better about themselves to say, well, everyone else is doing it. My friends are doing it. My family's doing it. And therefore, surely everything is going to be okay. And sometimes even people will say, whenever it comes to addictions that they have, and they're along with others in the religious world who say that God is by all means a loving God and that God will overlook the addiction that they are involved in. And friends, you and I know that the Bible teaches us that God will not overlook sin and that we need to understand not only that the sin that we have in our life, but also to keep in mind that there are consequences for things that we will engage in if we do not come away from those sins or in our lives that we're doing all that is within our power to do to change our lives. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches us on a number of levels that coming clean sets us free. John chapter 8 and verse 32, whenever it comes to all manner of sin, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. We know that the Bible is the truth, John 17 and verse 17, wherein that we're able to be sanctified, to be able to be set apart for service to God. But also, as we come to an understanding not only of the will of God, but the things that God would characterize as sin, we are able then at that point to see in our lives whether or not we are involved in those things, and hence, having identified those things that would be constituted as sin, addictions as we're looking at today, then we can understand then the way in which God hopes that we will change our lives. You see, in all, people sometimes say that they have done whatever they are addicted to for many years, and that it's become a part of their life, and that it's just too big for them to be able to come away from it. I mentioned as we were getting ready to start tonight, cigarette smoking. My dad has smoked for most of his life, and in fact, he still struggles with it even into this very day. And I remember on one occasion being at my mom's parents, my Mamaw and Papaw McFall's home, and my grandmother, she hated the fact that my dad smoked. And I must say, even as a kid, I did too, because I knew that there was health issues associated with that. And I remember on one occasion my grandma saying to my dad, because my dad was outside lighting up, she wouldn't let him smoke in the house, she said, Larry, that cigarette is bigger than you. And my dad says, oh, Hazel, you're crazy. And he was trying to be funny with her. And she goes, no, she says, it has a handle on you that you just cannot turn loose of. And he had to swallow that, and he had to deal with that in reality as to where he was. The truth of the matter is that all of us can redirect our will to come in compliance with the will of God. How can we come in, bring our lives in line with the will of God? Well, to begin with, we need to humble ourselves. We need to admit that we have a problem, and then in like figure, we need to say, you know, it's not about me. It's not about what I want out of life or what I think is okay in life, but rather, it is what God says that counts. It's what He expects out of me that I must submit myself to. And therefore, we need to take Peter's advice or Peter's instruction or commandment as it is given in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And whenever we do so, we shall be glorified by God in the end, whenever we live a life that complies with His will." So, it's admitting that we have a problem, seeing the truth, and then readjusting our lives to fit then according to the will of God. The Spirit must learn to despise sin. I believe that that is most important if an individual is going to come away from any sin. But tonight we're talking about those things that we're addicted to. If we're going to come away from those things that we're drawn to and we're addicts to, we must come to that point in our life where we despise sin. I'm reminded of what we read in Psalm 97 and verse 10, where God says, "Oh, you who love the Lord, hate evil." And also, according to what we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Love without dimensions." And he says, "Harbor that which is evil." To harbor that means is that to despise it, to hate it. They come to that point in their life where they say, you know, this is disgusting, it is controlling me, it is hindering my relationships in life, but also if I keep it up, it's going to hinder my relationship with my God and being able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him. And therefore, I despise this and I want to get rid of it in my life. And also, in admitting the problem, the inner person needs to seek after a new way of life. As Christians, the Bible tells us very clearly that our life is hidden in Christ. I'm reminded of what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And it's new in the sense that whenever we submit to Christ in baptism, God looks at us differently. Why? Because our sins are forgiven and we're added unto the kingdom, counted as His family, as sons and daughters of God. But in this, it is new in this sense, is that we no longer seek to live a life that is focused upon the world. We no longer seek to live a life that is focused upon personal pleasure and desire. But now, we are looking for the will of God. And also, as we look to the will of God and our life does not align with that, then the inner man says, you know, serving God is the utmost important thing in my life, and therefore I'm going to do all that I can possibly do to put my addictions away, my bad habits out, the sin that has controlled me, to put it away and live my life in compliance to a way that will please God as well as that will glorify Him. I also believe that in order for people to come away from addictions, they must own their addiction. And what I mean by that is that sometimes people will try to shift the blame elsewhere. And that's nothing new, is it, in reference to Scripture? I remember back in the Garden of Eden, whenever Eve is tempted and she partakes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she blamed it off on the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. And then whenever Adam has partaken of it, what did he say? He blames it off on God. "It's the woman whom you gave me." And friends, it started in the garden and it even continues into this very day. A lot of times, whenever kids get addicted to drugs, they will say that it's the parents' fault because the parents also were addicted to drugs. And if that's the case, by all means, they were introduced to it from the parents, but at the same time, the kids made a choice for themselves if they were going to engage in that or not. A lot of times, people will say, well, it's problems that I have in life. An alcoholic, especially, I've heard this time and time again, is that I try to find solutions to my problems at the bottom of the bottle. And friends, finding your solution is not at the bottom of the bottle. In fact, that's going to add to problems. It's going to make it even larger, because then you're going to become addicted to it. If you're not already, you're going to probably, if you've not done this, you're going to get out and you're going to drink and drive and maybe kill yourself and kill others and maybe even get a fine and end up in jail. So the answer is not to push off and to look for or to blame it off on someone else, but rather to own it. And in all, though, I will say, is that a person's environment may factor into one's troubles. We find this, I believe, taught in Scripture, is that we are not to keep company with those who are outside of the body of Christ. That is, to engage in an open fellowship with these people. Why? Because we do not have common ground. Light can have no fellowship with darkness, because these individuals live in sin. And if we do, God tells us that darkness is going to have a great influence and impact upon us. And there's a pretty good chance that at some point in time, it will draw us away from God, out of the light and into the darkness. And that's true then, as we would look with reference to an individual and the home that they had been reared in. They spend so much time around their parents, and if their parents are addicts, of drugs or something else, then there is a pretty good chance that they are also going to experiment with that in their life and even become addicted to that at some point down the road. I think I shared with you that years ago that I even toyed with smoking myself. And you know where I got that? I got that from my dad. And truth be told, though, there was a time in my life where I said to myself, you know, I was already starting to see some effects that it was having upon him, as well as beginning to look at things more from a spiritual standpoint, and said, I cannot engage in this because of what I had been introduced to by my parent. You see, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God holds each soul accountable. And while people may want to blame it off on parents or on their peers, or on the environment by which they've been raised in, the bottom line is every one of us will stand before God in judgment to give an account of our life, the life in which we have lived. Everyone is indeed going to meet God in the day of judgment and have to give an answer for our life and the addictions, whether or not we've allowed them to control our life or if we have truly surrendered our life over to living the Christian life. Those who own their problems or their addictions, as we're discussing tonight, they deal with these issues in their life. I believe that it is critical for an individual to admit to what it is that they are addicted to. If they're in denial, then they're never going to bring it out, and they're never going to see the importance of putting it aside. And if they're blaming it off on somebody else, then still again, they're not going to deal with it. They're not going to see the importance or the urgency to put it aside. But if they own it for themselves, then finally they're going to wake up and say, you know, I have a problem and I need to take care of this issue. Those who deal with addictions also must wake up to the fact that they're not going to be able to do it alone. Now, I've already said we have personal responsibility and accountability before God, but also we have personal responsibility to make sure that we are working each day to overcome our addictions. But as Christians, we need to lean on God, to turn to Him. Why? Because our ways are not according to the ways of God. Jeremiah, or Judges 21 and verse 25. Our ways also may seem right and lead to destruction. Our ways lack, they pale in comparison to the instructions or the ways of God. We need to understand that we must turn to God in prayer. We must turn to God through reading His Word. We must turn to God through relying upon our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and our family members who are in Christ, who are going to be there for us, to support us and to help us, to encourage us, and to give us sound, solid advice that will lead us then to living a life that is free of sinful addictions. You see, several Old Testament individuals came to this understanding, and even many in the New Testament, by the way. David, I'm reminded of what we read here in Psalm 40, verses 1 and verse 2. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry." He waited patiently on instruction from God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to direct his steps." Jeremiah came to realize how important it was for him to turn to God for direction in every aspect of his life. King Zedekiah once stated, questioned, he said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And I love what Jeremiah says. He says, "Yes, there is." Very bold, very clearly. God sought then and God continues to seek today to give us direction, to give us insight and a light to guide our paths. And therefore, we need to constantly turn to God, realizing that He will indeed be there for us. God stands ready to help us in each need that we will have. And taking into consideration with Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 39 or 31 and verse 6, to Israel, God encouraged them. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear." Now, how were they going to be able to stand strong and courageous without any fear? Know what He says. He says, "God is with you." If you have a problem, He says, "Israel, God is here. Not only does He want you to be strong and courageous, but He is here for you to help you to be strong, courageous, and to stand with Him without fear." The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches." God will make sure that we have all of our needs in life. And friends, tonight I suggest also is that God will be there to help us if we're dealing with addictions in life, if we're dealing with things that are counted as sin and that consume us. God is there to help us through no matter what. And therefore, God encourages us to rely on our Creator for all things. We need to rely on Him. Why? Because He says that we need to trust in Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and verse 6. And I'm reminded, and one of the most quoted verses of the Scripture is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And in order for us to be able to put our addictions away, drinking, drugs, and such, in order for us to be able to get those things out of our life, we must engage in saying, "I know that I am accountable to God for this. I know that I have a responsibility to do what God expects me to do, to put these things away, but also to understand that God is working behind the scenes providentially. God is working behind the scenes through our prayers. God is working behind the scenes with our church family, with our physical family. God is constantly at work helping us as long as we're striving to help ourselves to come away from whatever it is that is controlling our lives. You see, in life, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God will not allow us to be tempted above that in which we're able to bear. But with the temptation, He will also supply a way of escape. And I look back over things that I was addicted to in life from a sinful standpoint. And in all, I remember thinking to myself and putting those arguments out there that I've introduced tonight or talked about tonight, and thinking to myself, you know, surely God's going to be okay with this, and trying to justify my actions, the path that I had chose at that point, and really at times even questioning if God wanted me to do something different, then why can't I see that? And the problem was is that I wasn't looking for the escape that God was supplying. It was my fault. And if we're going to come away from those things that control our lives, that can hinder our relationship with God, then we need to admit and to say, I need God's help and guidance in my life to do what He expects me to do, but also to turn to my Creator. Well, how can we do this? We need to readjust our lives, to remove all occasions that bring about temptation. The bottom line, and if you don't remember anything else I say tonight, remember these three words. Don't go there. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't go there. If you're tempted by it, don't go there. If you're tempted to alcohol, don't go in that part of Walmart. Stay away from it. The last time I remember, it's kind of off on an aisle by itself. Don't go down that aisle. If you're addicted to drugs, don't hang out with the druggies. If you're addicted to even prescription drugs, let your doctor know, I have a problem with all of this. And tell him, or whoever it is, tell them, please be careful what it is that you prescribe, and only prescribe what it is that I need, and understand that if I come back begging for more, I don't write the prescription, please. Be honest with whatever it is that we're dealing with, and remove ourselves from those occasions to fall into those things that would draw us away from God. But then also understand the blessings of holding true to God. What are the blessings? I believe that if we are able to overcome our addictions, if we're able to step away from those things that drive and define us, that hinder our relationships in life and spiritually with God, then there is this personal satisfaction from within. This feeling where you feel better about yourself. It helps to build self-esteem. But also, we also need to understand the blessing of holding true to putting them away and standing firm and not going back to the addiction is that it can even bring forth a better influence. I shared, I believe, last week during our questions and answer, an individual that I had gone to a Bible study with, and the individual lit up a cigarette and blew smoke in the individual's face, and this was years and years ago back in Indiana, and the guy told us to get up and leave. Ended the Bible study. And in that, if that individual had come away from that, can you imagine then he had a negative impact upon that situation, but now if he had come away from that, he could have developed a better reputation and greater influence to be able to do greater things in the kingdom. But then also, we need to understand the eternal blessings by coming away from our addictions with the eternal reward that God has prepared for us in the end. And friends, nothing is comparable to that blessing that God promises us if we will live our lives according to His will while we are here. But then also, sometimes I know that whenever it comes to addictions, whenever it comes to things that really control us and we know that we've got to get away from it, it seems like a burden. And a lot of times people will quit. And I've heard some people, whenever it comes to their addiction, say, I've quit 15 times now. And what they mean is that I have tried, but at the same time, I've never been successful in that. And the longer that we stay clean from our addictions, the easier things get. Time, what is that old adage? It's water under the bridge. Sometimes that is true. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, but at the same time, the longer span that we put between the time that we quit, then it's going to, by nature, get easier and easier as time presses on. But then also, I realize that if people, a lot of times, whenever they quit smoking, whenever they quit with other things that they're addicted to, and let me go on to say, and I said this last week as well, even overeating. And I know sometimes whenever it comes to obesity, sometimes it's due to medical reasons and things of that nature. But whenever we are gluttons, and the Bible speaks very clearly about gluttony, if we are obese because we're a glutton, I'll be honest, I lost 100 pounds. It's been over three and a half years ago. And I'll tell you, every single day, my wife will attest to this, every single day I have to tell myself, be careful what you eat. I'll be completely honest with you too. I love to go to smorgasbords, but that's not the best place for me to go. At least not on a daily basis, because I like to overeat, or I do overeat whenever I go there a lot of times. And in all, the temptation is what I'm getting at. The temptation is always there to go back to revert back to our old way of life. And friends, the only way in which we can be successful in that is if we will fill the void with godly addictions, if you would. To fill our lives with reading Scripture, and the more that we read, the greater we'll understand the need for us to keep clean from these things. Also, if we will fill our lives up with doing things in the church, then we won't have time for our addictions. Another thing that I have is sweet tea. And the last 4 or 5 days, I've been busy with a project around the house, and I've not drank much sweet tea. So, in all, the busier that we are in, especially when it comes to serving the Lord, it will make staying away from addictions even easier. Glorifying God with our lives is really and truly what it's all about. Being able to live with a clear conscience by what we read and understand from the Scripture. And being able to live in this life with hopes and anticipation of, no question about it, being able to go to heaven in the end is what ought to motivate and to drive our lives to come away from whatever it is that might be controlling us. Tonight, while the lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, it's been more about being a Christian and serving God, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to those who are outside of the body of Christ. We want to encourage you tonight that if you are contemplating, considering becoming a Christian, is that this is indeed the greatest decision that you will ever make in life. It is what life is really and truly all about. And therefore tonight, if you are willing to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, also willing to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we will gladly assist you to become a Christian. Also, we may have members here tonight, and maybe not necessarily dealing with addictions, but at the same time, you've allowed some sin to take control of your life, to pull you away from God, and therefore you would need the prayers of the church to be found right with God once again. Tonight, if you're subject to this invitation in any way, please come.